good morning.
Forget your name for a second.
I did not. I just had to
allow myself to introduce
in a moment of
myself
of reflection of what just happened in the handoff. With
we just having a little bit of fun. I mean, through a little bit of truth telling sometimes needs to be told, and I'm the guy to do it. So
you're the.
I know you feel that way. I know you do.
I know.
Don't speak from the heart.
I mean, look. I'm not going to go into it because last night.
He's Atlanta's truth teller.
Let me tell you something. Today is a good day because NBA season for a team that actually has players that matter to me are stepping on the court. And we ate all the poutine we could get last night in Montreal, Tiff. And brought home a W.
Woo!
Shout out to Brad Gazan with a huge stop in the PKs.
Shout out to the guy that was sitting in front of Mike and Jason last night in front of their booth because he got things riled up as well.
I saw you guys having some fun with that in
awesome.
In the group chat, so I imagine we'll have some fun with that today.
I hope Dylan got that audio.
He's nodding his head. He did. If you don't know what we're talking about.
I'm sure that Mike Conti doesn't want us to play it, but it needs to be played.
We were talking about Atlanta United's wild card game against Montreal last night. We will get to that. You guys do anything interesting last night other than watch games?
I watched the United game last night. That's it. And it was fun to talk about and fun to watch. Nothing other than that. Just a normal old day. Got my kids a new blow-up Halloween decoration, which they were just over the moon about. Felt like a good dad last night getting it blown up. Made them get, what do you think it is? Is it a skeleton? Is it a pumpkin? I don't know. They're like, I don't know, Daddy, plug it in. I'm like, yeah, just wait a second. Be patient. It was cool. Yeah.
What was it?
It was a 10-foot Halloween dragon. Yeah, had red eyes. It was pretty cool.
What makes a Halloween dragon?
It's
the
like,
red eyes, I guess?
It's carrying a pumpkin and kind of has a scary look to it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think I saw a shooting star this morning.
You're
I mean, seriously.
Did you make a wish?
Yeah, I did. I made two, in fact.
I've only ever seen one in Atlanta.
There's
so much light pollution.
Well, I don't know what it was. I'm driving on the express lane. I just passed if you're coming south, down 75 in the express lane, right when you pass the Georgia Lottery sign, which is getting pretty big, by the way. I'm going to start playing. It's like 200 and 400 on both Mega and
Ding.
And I see this thing shooting, this light, and I'm like, oh, what is it? Is it a shooting star? And then it kind of flares out, but it was green. Are shooting stars flare out with green?
Yeah, Tiff, I don't believe him.
I mean, either that or like we
I think
were having...
he had a spider web attached to his window, and in the light kind of just gleamed down the spider web, and he was like, "Oh,
that's a possibility."
Well,
because when he told me this, and I looked up, he texted me and said, "I think I just saw a shooting star." And I looked at the sky, and I was like, "I don't even see a star. Like, I don't see not one."
Well, that's
right
a
now.
You problem. I saw
yeah,
a shooting
it's just
one,
weird to me that you saw one shooting,
a wish.
Which is hard to find.
And it was at Atlanta United when I'm skin.
I guess you can share now. Watch the game. I started a new series earlier yesterday, Shrinking, on Apple TV.
Okay.
With Jason Segel.
Okay.
And Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford?
Yes.
You have a cane and a walker in it?
Yes. Well, no. Man. No. No. Stop
why are you
it.
So full of
why
hate, man.
I love Harrison Ford.
It doesn't sound like it.
That's
like
Indiana Jones.
You sound like you're saying he's got 2 feet in the grave.
Well, the last time they made Indiana Jones, they had to delay the filming for like a year because he broke his hip or something.
Wasn't he flying, though?
Well,
wasn't
I think they used a lot of CGI in that, too, though. Like, I don't think all of it was him.
Anyway, it's a good show.
Did his own stunts.
You should watch it.
Is it?
Yes.
You know, wait. Is this the second season, or is it?
I started the first, but there is season 2's already out.
Because I remember seeing an advertisement for it. Have you ever seen the show The Morning, the Apple The Morning Show?
I only watched, like, the first
season,
and
yeah,
it was great. And then I just didn't, for some reason, I haven't.
I watched that show as well. Simone, I watched it. It's pretty good.
The first season was the best of The Morning Show, but I saw an app. I've watched seasons 2 and 3, which were good, but not as good. That's when I saw an advertisement for this show, and I completely had forgotten all about it until you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's good. It's a good show, so you should check it out.
Last note on good shows on Apple TV. If y'all want another good show, Silo on Apple TV Plus.
Is that sci-fi?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It's not like super sci-fi-ish, but I guess you can kind of put it in that category.
Okay.
But it's not like aliens walking around and stuff. But I guess somewhat sci-fi. Not really. Actually.
Are you a Ted Lasso guy?
No, I never watch it.
I'm not sure how. It's like you're. I mean, that's like your spirit animal. Like, you're pretty close to Ted Lasso.
Am I really? I just never gave it a shot.
Well, you're
optimistic.
Optimistic. You know, you see the bright side of everything. It's very Ted Lasso-esque. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'll watch it. I'll check it out now.
Although, I think he did deal with depression at one point. I'm not sure that you have, hopefully, but because right. He got divorced in the show.
This hour fingers crossed, to you I don't by deal with Morgan that. And Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. You guys are something else. All right. Atlanta United, the number 9 seed, right? And Montreal, the 8 seed. It went down to a penalty kick shootout, or you call them PKs, a shootout. Whatever you want to go with. This is the MLS Cup playoffs Eastern Conference wild card game. And, of course, there was like a 10% chance that Atlanta United would even get into the playoffs. And they were able to do that with the win over Orlando City. And so now the magic just keeps on going. The match was tied at 2-2 to end regulation. There was no extra time. And the winner, of course, decided in PKs. Atlanta made all 5. Of their PKs, and Brad Guzan, friend of the show now, we can call him, saved one to seal the win for the 5 stripes. So this is...
The format definitely helped Atlanta United out because both teams played Saturday. One team traveled twice, one team did not. Montreal played a home game on Saturday and then got to stay home. Atlanta United played on the road at Orlando City, had to come home, then go to Montreal. So that worked out because there was no extra time, right? Because there were PKs. I thought Atlanta United had a golden opportunity to honestly finish this game in regular time. They could have been up 3-0. Brooks Lennon misses a tough one touch tip in the box, but still a very makeable shot.
You said regulation, but don't you like the drama?
Action at the goal to our right. Saba directly behind the ball. He gets the whistle. Saba. Up to it, strikes it, score! Atlanta United is going to Miami! Atlanta United wins their first playoff shootout in franchise history! Lionel Messi, we'll see you Friday night!
That was Mike Conti on the call. Of course, he's always with Jason Longshore for Atlanta United matches.
Yeah, the penalty you're talking about that Joseph was able to put home right there at the end of the match that pulled it even at 2. Tiff, I don't know if you saw the actual penalty. I would love to get your take on it because it seemed a little bit ticky-tack to me. And then, like, I'm listening to the commentators on the actual TV broadcast. And I'm like, that's definitely a penalty. I'm like, what? Like, I'm looking at it going, dude, I must not know enough, man. Like, maybe I'm just too detached from soccer. I don't know, but it just looks so freaking ridiculous.
No, I think you do a good job with your soccer. I didn't say you were detached. I kind of had the same kind of feelings. Like, it's. I kind of want to use that. It's the playoffs. You know,
it was soft.
Got to let them play.
It was soft. It was at the right, just barely. I mean, just a centimeter, it looked like. I mean, I know it was a little bit more, but inside the box, Steph, and it. The only thing I can think of is his knee made real contact with the back of the offensive player, Brooks Lennon's knee, because I didn't think it was I personally
wouldn't have
been livid if it was called on me. And you were a defender in college. I wasn't. I played two years I played in high school. I was way more physical than that because that was, you know, it's high school and I wasn't very good, so I just ran through people. But, I mean, that was ridiculous, I thought.
No, and especially, like, crucial moments. I don't know. I'm not making that call. And as a defender, yeah, you're pretty spot on with that. I would be pretty – I don't know what word you used, but
– ridiculous.
Okay. I would be pretty upset, too.
Yeah.
You know who else was upset during this match? You guys were having some fun in the group chat. There was some chatter – some chatter going on. First of all, I want to put a disclaimer out. I'm not, like, I was told to set this up, but I am not.
All Tiff's
idea. It's not my idea. It's not my idea at all. So I'll let you, the people, take a listen to what occurred with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore and maybe some fans. And,
and Montreal's season is done.
You can taunt me all you want. The game is over. I'm getting paid money to call the game. So, sorry you lost, but have a good drive home.
I I did not authorize the use of that sound. Gosh. So.
Sorry you lost, but so, have a good drive home.
This reminds me of 2010.
Not me.
This reminds me of 2010 when the Falcons played the Saints in New Orleans. Mike, I think you might have been there. I know you were on the team then. I'm not sure what your status was, if you were injured or not when this happened. But we beat them in overtime, if I'm not mistaken. And they had Sean Payton had called a timeout and basically iced his own kicker in the game. And that was when you had to go through the crowd at the Superdome to get to the locker room because of the stadium being redone after Katrina. And fans are yelling at Arch, and Arch goes, "Tell your coach to call another timeout." And it just reminds me that a lot of times when you're in these venues doing these games for Radio Tiff, you're going to get put in the crowd.
Situation. Yeah, yeah.
And you get heckled by the crowd. I mean, you're like, if you want that smoke, Mike Conti will definitely give it to you.
Sorry you lost, but have a good drive home.
The funniest part is that you know how professional that Mike Conti is, and he was trying to hold his tongue so bad. They wanted to be like, enjoy. We're going to enjoy Miami. Let's go.
Enjoy your drive home. I'm going to use that today after I beat Tiffin, which one Wednesday. I'm sorry you lost.
I'm going to go ahead and wave.
Sorry you lost, but have a good drive home.
Have a good drive home.
All right. Saints, Falcons. Wow. You are killing me today. You're sorry for your loss and the drive home. All right. We got Buccaneers and Falcons this weekend. Big injury news on the Tampa Bay front. How will it impact this game? We'll discuss next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons and Buccaneers are on deck for this weekend. There was a whole host of injuries that came out of the Monday Night Football game for the Bucs, and two significant ones, their receivers, Chris Godwin, who is now out for the season with a dislocated ankle, and Mike Evans, who was trying to fight through a hamstring injury, ended up, I guess, making it worse, guys. So he's out until after the Bucs' Week 11 bye.
Yeah, that's the big one right there. I know Chris Godwin's had success against the Falcons, and you wanted... If you're going to lose Mike Evans, you need him. But Mike Evans has had a career against the Falcons alone. I mean, there are guys that will never equal the stats in an entire career that Mike Evans has had alone in his 19 games against the Falcons. Guy's got 97 catches for 1,469 yards and 13 touchdowns. He has feasted against the Falcons. And what's odd to me is you go look at his numbers against the Saints, one of the other division opponents he's played a lot, he's got like four touchdowns.
No.
And they've done a good job of keeping him right around like three catches a game. And I have to give Marshawn Lattimore a lot of that credit because he's done a very good job against him. But Mike Evans is the one. But, you know, we can talk about these injuries and how it affects the Buccaneers' chances in the division. But I think we could see them become a different offense. And I think they have kind of figured out that they can run the football and they've got a three-headed monster. And you can add a fourth head if you want to think that maybe Baker is going to get some scrambles. The last time these teams played, they ran at a 6.2-yard clip.
It's pretty good.
26 carries, 160 yards, led by Rashad White, who had 10 for 72. And he also has a 100-yard game against the Falcons when he played them back in December of last year.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody out there on their waiver wire that's trying to pick up Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan because they're going to see the bulk of the targets for the next few weeks at least.
Don't forget Kate Otten.
Well, Kate Otten as well, but just the wide receiver. Kate Otten's been getting them targets. So, and he's kind of exploded on the scene. It's been nice to see, but Sterling Shepard, obviously a guy as well, and when you look on down the list, it's weird because, you know, I went through and I think we all kind of felt like this, you go through a number of years where you're like, man, I don't even know if they can afford to keep Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's on the roster at the same time. We talked about it last offseason when Mike Evans was kind of dipping his toe in the water of free agency and kind of feeling around on that. And you're like, at the same time, you're like, yeah, that would be a big loss for Tampa, but they still got Chris Godwin. For both those guys to sort of exit the picture last week, and Chris Godwin, you know, obviously going to be out for a while, that That's a huge thing for that team. And I know that they've got to be reeling from that just from a leadership standpoint, if nothing else, after this past weekend.
And just to point out, too, Evans has restructured his contract on a couple different occasions over the years to help free up some cap space there. So that's probably one of the reasons why they've been able to keep some key guys on their roster.
Yeah, I don't find that shocking at all. He seems to be, from everybody you talk to and everybody that understands him, just a good dude, good teammate. So it's cool.
One of the best. That's why he always wins like their media award pretty much every year.
Yeah, he's the the epitome of a professional in this league. He is exactly what you want a guy to be. You know, we had Julio for years here, and everybody talked about how Julio, for the most part, handled his business. He was, you know, he wasn't the. I know that he had a little bit at the end here with the contract situation, and he kind of, I think it stained his reputation a little bit with some of the fan base. But I mean, I was around him every week on the road or at home. And whenever we needed Julio to talk, he talked. He was friendly. He wasn't a jerk about it. He did take care of his guys, though. I heard him be a leader with other players that kind of having some rough moments with the media, and he took up for him. He had their back. That's what Mike Evans' time there is reminding me of, is how dominant he's been on the field more than anything, though. It's just phenomenal. And look, Baker Mayfield, we've done a really good job at holding guys under 300-yard passing days, but if you go look at his game like the last time these two teams played on Thursday night, 19 of 24, 180 yards, had another 42 on the ground, Baker, and three touchdowns. Baker, we didn't necessarily slow Baker down. We limited, but they were very balanced in their attack, and they still put up 30.
Yeah, and I'm with you, too. We've talked a number of times about Baker not only doing it with his arms, but he's just so sneaky, the way he can attack you with his legs, too. And I think that's something we're going to all kind of bear in mind as we head towards this weekend.
And not to get too far ahead, but after this game, you get the Cowboys, and then you get the Saints. And you have to wonder who's going to be back for New Orleans, because they are dealing with a number of key injuries for them. So Derek Carr with the oblique injury, he's questionable for their game Sunday against the Chargers. And then Taysom Hill, questionable. Chris Olave, questionable. Cesar Ruiz, questionable. And then linebacker Pete Warner, also. All these guys questionable for their game on Sunday.
Yeah, they have been decimated with injuries. And Mike, it might have been you. Tiff, it might have been you. I don't know. I can't remember who asked it, but someone said, you know, could this save Dennis Allen's job? All the injuries. And I don't know, because I think how you lose games matters. And I saw Sean Payton win games and lose close games with a lot of injuries. And if Dennis Allen, you know, the blowout kind of game that was against Tampa at home, not necessarily something that you can continue to let happen and keep your job. Let them lose as many games as they can. I'm also interested in see what they do with their team, because they're in a weird point, because I think they're $81 million over the cap when the season ends. And it's that way every year, though.
Yeah, they kick the can down the road a little bit down there.
But that's the question. How much longer are you willing to kick the can down the road? Because after two games, not a fair evaluation because of the injuries, but is Spencer Rattler, do you see him as the quarterback of the future? And I think if you don't, it might be time to hit the reset button now.
Here's the question I'm going to have, because I think that they're actually keeping a close eye on what's going on with us this weekend down in Tampa. Like, a lot of people have started talking about, is Alvin Kamara on the trade block? And I think right now, like, he's kind of their team. He has not been able to do, you know, what he did the first couple of weeks in terms of his output, but I think the further, you know, that we can pull out in front of this division, and the more they look at the terms of their injury, the more they might look at an Alvin Kamara and be like, man, we got to figure out how to, you know, a way to find some money somewhere. Is this season kind of in a lost mode? Now, obviously, I don't know that much of that gets situated this weekend, because either team that wins is going to kind of be in the same spot in front of the division. But nonetheless, I think that New Orleans is probably keeping a close eye on other teams in the division for the next couple of weeks to see if they can afford to spend time getting all their guys healthy, you know, instead of dealing them.
more on the Falcons as we go throughout this show. But up next, college football headlines. What will the future look like if the Big Ten and the SEC join forces? That's on the other side. We get the college football headlines next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Big Ten and the SEC could be joining forces when it comes to scheduling. So talks remain ongoing over an agreement between the Big Ten and the SEC over their scheduling. So over the weekend, CBS Sports spoke with both SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and Texas President Jay Hartzell about the possibility of the two superpower conferences coming together for future regular season games. Now, it was also confirmed last week that the Big Ten and SEC were in preliminary talks to play non-conference games against each other as a way to enhance the strength of schedule.
Yeah, I think the who was it we talked to last week, Bo? It was an eye-opener.
Dennis Dodd.
Yeah, Dennis Dodd. I think it was an eye-opener for a lot of both these leagues. Alabama against Wisconsin and a number of the matchups you've seen here recently between these two leagues that can fire up not only, you know, people in those fan bases, but broadcast deals, things like that. The revenue is there. You have to start to really dive deep in the weeds in terms of, you know, nine league games and things like that. But it seems like a no-brainer for everybody. The schedule's already gotten crazy. Let's make it a little bit crazier.
Well, I think the more that this 12-team playoff continues, the more they need these games, the more they need each other. Because these conferences are so brutal already, the strength of schedule could be the only thing that saves you. Me and Mike Conti, we're just joking around. We're just joking around Sunday before the Falcons game. And he said, what would happen if, and again, we're joking, because I don't think this is going to happen.
But joshing around.
But he said, what would happen if Florida won out? And I said, they would make the college football playoff. And he was like, do you really think that? And I said, yes. I said, because if you won out, even with losses against a top 10, now a top 10 Miami team, and what could be a top 10 Texas A&M team soon enough, if you beat four straight teams that today sit at 6-1, because of your strength of schedule alone, the three losses does not matter. You would be in the college football playoff. Do you disagree? Does anybody disagree with that? Three losses don't matter. It's the fact that they're
all... You're saying your strength of schedule is going to supersede that.
Because when you go through it...
When you go through it,
think about it. Who they play? Because they started the season at home against Miami, which was a loss. And then you would play... And I'm only making this argument because the point is that's what this is going to. You know, all these people that want this NFL-type model, that's what we're going to. Because when you say you played Miami, you played A&M, and Miami State. You played UCF, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Mississippi, and Florida State. All the other than Samford, Miss State, UCF, and Florida State, they're all going to be ranked opponents, and all of them are being in the top 20.
I mean, yeah. I think there's a valid point to be had there. To me, though, like, let's put these teams up to bat. Let's make these. I see what you're saying, and you're like, oh, it's going to be chaotic, and there's going to be teams that lose a number of games. I'd rather see a team in with three losses to tough opponents than to somebody backdooring this thing that hadn't played anybody.
Well,
all year.
And that's the point. Yeah. That's the whole point of getting in bed with each other, the Big Ten and the SEC. I also think they believe it's a means to an end where they can keep. And one of the other things we talked to Dennis Dodd about is what is a way to keep private equity out of your conferences.
Come together, yeah.
Come together. You continue to make big money games, which equal big money, and all that does is strengthen. Look,
you think someone's not going to want to see like an Ohio State? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there, like Alabama matchup or something. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
they won't. Yeah, they won't.
That's what I'm being.
And so Tiffany, you know, you work in the TV world. All that does is strengthen your TV deals. Because there's no throwaway games. It's must-see TV. It is above your pay grade, but you know it's good for business.
You know, we'll see what happens in the future. But, yeah, you're not wrong about that. It's definitely good for business.
And look, man, like I said, I agree with you. I think that when you look at it on the surface, you're like, okay, this is going to be – like, I mean, here's a prime example, dude. If Vanderbilt wins out, they're in the playoff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, their schedule the next 5 weeks is insane. Their schedule the next 5 weeks is insane. So, yeah, I mean, there's a number of things that could happen like that, and I'm here for it. Like, there's so many different ways to dissect this, too. And we asked Dennis Dodd, and I brought this up. I was like, whatever it takes to make regulation again for college football, and if it takes both these conferences coming together and more regulations that lead to NIL structure, then I'm all for that as well.
Yeah, and I only mention Florida not because that's where I grew up being a fan of.
No, but it's a good example of
the team schedule
and the schedule. So we're not hating on you because of your Gators. All right.
Also, Kennesaw State. Yeah, don't forget that New Realm Allen.
Let's get you some injury news here. Quarterback Haynes King for Georgia Tech. His status for their game against Virginia Tech on Saturday has not yet been determined, this according to head coach Brent Key. So we did not see King play in their loss to Notre Dame over the weekend. And Key said last week that King was day-to-day and would be a game-time decision. So maybe much of the same going into this week, but still to be determined on his status.
He's the straw that stirs the drink, as we always say around here. And it was disappointing not to be able to see him face off this past weekend. You hope that a guy like that really has at times put this team on his shoulders, can get back healthy and continue to do some of the things he's done.
Yeah, I think you play Virginia Tech's still a pretty decent team. You got to go on the road. You want Haynes King for that game. You don't want to go into that game without him. That's not anything against Zach. Was it Pyron? I think that's how you pronounce it.
I believe so.
His last name. He's a good player, but you need Haynes King is an X factor for this team. If there is one, it's him and the running back whose name is
his last name is Haynes,
and I can't think of his first name, and it's killing me. And I want to be like, his name is also Haynes, but not first, just last. Hell of a player, too. Those two are the 1-2 punch for this team, so you need them back.
Good offensive line.
Before we go, Colorado's X-Factor, Travis Hunter, two-way star, he is improving from a shoulder injury and is expected to play a larger role in their game against Cincinnati this week. He sat out the second half of their game against Arizona, this coming from Coach Deion Sanders.
Best player in college football overall. The best overall player in college football. And there is, there could be a little bit of breaking news at the NFL, Tiff. Adam Schefter is reporting that there's a chance that the Chiefs could acquire DeAndre Hopkins.
I love how you give Adam Schefter the benefit and say, there's a chance. His tweet, because it cracks me up the way he tweets, his tweet says, it's happening. It's happening.
But then he goes on and said they're working to finalize.
I know. It's just like his tweets crack me up, dude. It's happening. Titans and Chiefs.
It's all happening.
Titans and Chiefs are working to finalize. But the first word is, it's happening.
More to come here on that the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9. The game this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It was brought to you. By Zero Hedge.
Oh, I was hoping it was Morgan & Morgan. Smart. I might need them.
You might. Mess around again during the break and find out.
Zero Res.
What am I saying? This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. All right. As Bo just eloquently broke for us as we were going to break, Adam Schefter tweeted, it's happening. Titans and Chiefs are working to finalize a trade that would send receiver DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City. This is what league sources tell him.
That makes sense for everybody involved, doesn't it?
Oh, man, somebody just beat me that. I didn't even know DeAndre Hopkins was a free agent in my solo fantasy league. And someone just added him. I didn't even know he was a free agent. It's a good move by whoever that is.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for you.
Could be a big move for the Chiefs.
It could be a big move for the Chiefs. And what's funny is
6-0 team getting stronger.
Yeah, D-Hop this past week. I don't know if anybody caught it, but he was like, they're asking about the offense. He's like, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, and I go where I'm supposed to go, and I let them worry about everything else. It's kind of funny because obviously upset at the quarterbacking situation they have had. He hasn't really gotten any of the things that he felt like he was promised, there in Tennessee. But nonetheless, still a talented guy, still a good wide receiver. I don't think he's the last domino to fall here. And we talked about Cooper Kupp earlier, man, but it's a good move for the Chiefs. A lot of people wondered if Cooper Kupp maybe going to the Chiefs. But there you go. You get your guy over there. And I don't even remember, you know, what their wide receiver situation is for the Chiefs right now, but it ain't good. So
well, just improved a little bit.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport now tweeting out that sources say that the deal is in exchange for a fifth rounder that can get to a fourth rounder. So the deal is being finalized, but this is part of the trade now.
It bears saying, does anybody still think we can get a first for Kyle Pitts? I mean, like, I'm so tired of getting people asking me that.
I think,
man,
that's
like,
it's a little unfair. A little unfair. They're in different parts of their career. I'll tell you this. The Chiefs' leading receiver is still Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
And it's not that. All right, you want to talk about what the passing game is or isn't here? The Chiefs are 6-0 because of defense, guys. Again, because.
And I met the president again.
Because Drake London's our leading receiver with 491 yards, and Darnell Mooney is behind him with 418. Now the Chiefs spread the ball a lot because you've got Noah Gray with 185 yards receiving, Kelce with 245. And then you go Worthy with right under 200, Juju with 147. So my point is that there is a lot of guys in that realm for them with some big plays, whereas we have a better receiving core right now than the Chiefs.
I think they
at least get to add a veteran presence with. I saw some of the impact because I had the Titans last year that DeAndre Hopkins made. I'm forgetting there, Trey Burks.
Yeah.
Traylon Burks, yeah.
Kind
of having the impact with him. And so now, not that Rashee Rice, you know, maybe needs it, but again, he's a young receiver, and now you get Hopkins coming in with all that veteran experience. So I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out.
Well, Rashee Rice needs it off the field, for sure. He needs a veteran presence around him to kind of settle. He's had some run-ins.
Yes.
He's obviously out for right now. And he's working. There's a chance he's working to get back. That injury wasn't as bad as that they thought. But look, DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, you got Justin Watson, Xavier Worthy could use, to your point, Tiff, a veteran presence around him to help him route running.
That's the one that I'll be looking forward to the most, see what D-Hop can do with him, because he obviously has the skills and the tools, but you got to refine some things as
and
a
he's
young
willing
guy.
To share it, so he's done that before in the past.
Yeah.
All right, bringing it back home. The Bucs and the Falcons going down this weekend, and there are some significant injuries going on the Bucs side of things with Chris Godwin, who we saw go down in Monday Night Football. A dislocated ankle, he's out for the season. And then Mike Evans also going down during Monday Night Football with a hamstring injury. You saw him trying to fight through it in that game. He is out until after the Bucs' Week 11 bye week. So the Falcons will not see either of those guys this weekend. So how is that going to shape the game? I know, Bo, you got into the Bucs running the football, really leaning heavily on that.
Yeah, and to the bigger point, this game could shape the division, Tiff, and because if the Falcons were to win, they would move to 4-0 in the division and 2-0 against Tampa and hold all tiebreakers. But to your question or your point to me about the running, look, this is a team that ran the ball for 160 yards against us. This is a team that has kind of found something. I might do a little emphasis, found something in the run game.
Dramatic hand.
They have a little bit of a three-headed monster as far as running the football.
Dramatic. It's like an Italian, like a mafia thing going on, the way he's talking to us right now. Found something.
Well, I'm not Italian or in the mafia.
Yeah.
I'm the excited Southerner.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that they have found something here. But Rashad White as a guy who...
so many things I wanted to say.
200. Look, he's a dual-threat guy. If you want to get down to it, what are you? All right, what? What are you guys like? You're
doing,
and you are laughing at each other, and you're calling me a mafia man with my hands. Go ahead, Dylan, get on the microphone. I'm trying to talk about Rashad White being a dual threat running back, and you guys are just, I don't know what y'all are doing.
You need to get on him the way you did me yesterday when you called me the dad. I tell him I didn't know what we were talking about.
I
yell at him too.
I was actually whispering to Mike and saying that. After he said the thing about your hands, he was doing like an Italian. I said that you opened your hands up on purpose to make sure you didn't do the Italian thing again.
I know it. Yeah.
And
I mean,
as for you, Michael, you should know, parenting, sometimes it's not always fair.
Yeah, sometimes you have a favorite child.
It depends on the day. It just depends on the day.
Bucky Irving's actually been the better running back this season, if you want to get down to it, of their two.
I agree. He's explosive.
Of their three, really. He's got 351 yards on the ground. He's got 120. All these guys do a good job of catching the ball out of the backfield, along with being you know, heads-up runners. I think with all the injuries to the receiving core, look, your offensive line's been banged up too a little bit. Lean on these guys. Lean on the offensive line. Just go run the football.
Let me ask
you this. If you're Tampa Bay.
I was going to say, let me ask you this, because I think this is something that we could find out sooner or later. When you don't have a passing attack, because I think this kind of starts to play out a little bit like the Carolina game, but I think Tampa's got better players, to where you know that the passing, the running game now could be the X factor in the game, right? We said going in, Chuba Hubbard, X factor in the game, got to stop Chuba Hubbard. You felt like that he started the game hot, and at times in the third and fourth quarter he got hot, but overall he did a pretty good job. So I'm like, is that how this game shapes up? And if so, can the Falcons put their foot down and say, hey, we're going to commit this many guys, we're going to commit seven to the box, and just simply stop the run and task Baker Mayfield with winning the game for the Buccaneers? And can he get that done? Can the Falcons stop the run, period, against the Buccaneers if they know that the Buccaneers have to run the ball?
It's kind of the same premise that I said yesterday with why not come up and play these receivers at the line of scrimmage instead of playing 8 to 10 yards off like we do, right? Don't give him the quick Baker Mayfield. I know y'all don't like to hear it, and I know some people in the media here, and me and Mike Bell have went round and round about Baker Mayfield and what he is or isn't or what he couldn't be. Baker's not dumb. He's a smart, headsy player. Yeah, he'll put the ball in harm's way, and he got baited on Monday night a couple of times by Marlon Humphrey, as you pointed out, Mike. But the reality of the situation is, if you give him 7-8 yards, he's going to
take it.
Yeah, absolutely, Tiffany. So, to your point, Mike, do you come up? I don't know. 2 weeks ago when you played, or 3 weeks ago when you played Tampa Bay, you looked like one of the worst run defenses in the league. You still are, but you've went from like 28th, 29th to 24th. You've lowered each over the last couple of weeks, have lowered your average against you on the ground. You only gave up 100 yards last week, which yeah. I thought you did a good job. And I thought Seattle tried to run the ball against you. Now yeah. they weren't a run team, but they recognized that they could run the ball against you, and they tried. Tampa Bay is a team that they're eighth in the league in rushing already, and they're a top 10 offense every which way you look at it. I mean, they're fourth in points, they're eighth in overall rushing yards, they're seventh in pass, and they're fifth in total offense, and they're the best third down team in football. And you're the 30th third down defense.
And I got to pull up the numbers from what they did on the ground game last year. But when I had them last year, and then talking to other guys around the NFL, one of the biggest things they said, you know, it's never one dimensional for them. You can try to take away one aspect of their game, but then they can go back and lean on the run game. And also they talked about, this defensive guy was talking about trying to just get Baker Mayfield kind of like in a phone booth. Try to collapse the pocket on him, because that's really one of the only ways that you can try to keep him from trying to scramble. But again, easier said than done. But a lot of these guys know what they're up against when they're going against a quarterback like him.
Yeah, and that'll be my question, honestly. Because we've talked about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin now 2 days in a row about the injuries and them being out, and the fact that Mike Evans will be out, I don't know, the next 4 weeks, whatever it is, week 11, week 12, and Chris Godwin obviously having surgery, right? My question will be going in, if Jimmy Lake knows simply, hey, this is a team that has to run the ball, are we good enough to square up with Tristan Wirfs and Graham Barton and Luke Getteke and Cody Mauch and the rest of those guys up front for Tampa with that running back trio and say, hey, you're not going to be able to run the ball? Because I think a lot of people still have the questions. Even in obvious rundowns, do we have the personnel to stop what these other teams are trying to do when you know they have to run it?
Well, I think the X factor for that to me, and I know people don't want to hear this because they think it's all D-line, 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 but the X factor not on the D-line would be Nate Landman and Troy Anderson. And can Troy Anderson come back and be healthy? And can you use those two linebackers? To me, those are two guys that are more physical, and I love Caden Ellis. Absolutely love the dude to death. But those two guys to me are more physical in the run game. Can those guys come in and play that? And then on the defensive line, I look at Onyemata, Rook, and Grady and TQ as guys that could really step up in the run game on the line.
Yeah, to your point, I think we talk about Troy Andersen and Nate Lehman as if, like, hey, they're kind of battling over the same position. I'm not so sure the further we get into this and the more film I look at, that they shouldn't both be playing at the same time.
That's my point.
And I'm not so much talking about, like, one of them being on the end of the line of scrimmage. Caden Ellis has struggled in this scheme at times, and I think it bears talking about that maybe he's the one that could use a little bit of change of destination in terms of what he's being asked to do.
Mike, that's my entire point. I think you put those guys in the middle, and I think Caden Ellis in some ways becomes that extra pass rusher that you think you need to go find, that you aren't going to find, at least for this week anyways. I think you're 100% right.
When we
see,
come
I said
back,
you're right.
Whoa,
I said you're Tiffany. I said he was right.
He said 100%.
He did.
Right.
I thought for sure you were going to say you're not wrong.
Well, you're
and
not.
And here he came out and said you're 100% right. You know what I saw, Tiff? People can change.
But you just took my point and expounded on it, really.
Personal
I mean,
growth.
That's what I said. I thought it was clear that I said that they're on the field at the same time. Anyway, Steph, we need to go to break.
Yeah, we do. We're coming back with the latest NFL headlines. Who's out, who's in for this weekend, and also who's staying at home, who just got an extension. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Time for the latest NFL headlines, and the news just broke this morning. This, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, I said the Titans receiver DeAndre Hopkins is being traded to the Chiefs in exchange for a fifth rounder that can get to a fourth rounder. The deal is being finalized, he says. So another key veteran now to the Chiefs offense.
Yeah, you know, Rashee Rice for the rest of the season. Hollywood Brown might not return. You're the best player in the NFL has more interceptions than touchdowns. You need something to kind of make this offense a little bit more dynamic. Pacheco has been out, so it's been a big loss for them. They've been winning games because of the defense.
Yeah, and it's not like and Travis Kelce's like been year. Going off this year.
No, I know.
As
we
know
would
as
know.
Fantasy owners of yeah. Travis Kelce, shout out to him.
Thanks a lot, Taylor Swift.
I mean, like,
you can go stand outside.
Oh, I will too.
Man. No, I just like this is a home run for everybody. I mean, this is an absolute home run for everybody involved. When you look at the quarterback situation in Tennessee and what D-Hop's bringing you, I don't think that at this point in his career that he's that guy that's going to, you know, bring Mason Rudolph or Will Levis out of the basement of wherever they're at. And I think when you look at him, he's like, dude, why would I not go finish my career playing for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis? Like, why would I not do that? Chance of winning a ring. It's a home run in every direction.
This is the last year of his contract. It's expected that the Titans are going to pick up some of the $8 million remaining. But, I mean, it makes sense for everybody, really.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Well, running back Alvin Kamara agrees to a two-year, $24.5 million contract extension with, of course, the New Orleans Saints. That per Mike Garofolo, also friend of the show. The deal includes over $22 million guaranteed and $1.5 million in incentives, which makes it worth up to $26 million.
Yeah, I was hoping to get him out of the division, but yeah. What are you going to
yeah.
do?
I like
him as a player. I think he's phenomenal. He'll probably have a new coordinator next year, though, once they fire that whole staff.
I'm telling you, I think that the way they started before the injuries, I don't think anybody's going anywhere. You can hang your hat on that if you're Dennis Allen. I'm not a Dennis Allen believer. I said it last year. But
I've never
I think
been.
You can hang your hat on that.
Look, keep pushing that can down the road, Mickey Loomis, because eventually you're going to have to pay up. I mean, they're going to be $80 million over once the year ends before the new league year sets in. So they're going to have to move money again down the road. The only question for me is do they ever make a deep playoff run again before they have to hit the reset button?
Here's what my question would be, and I'm curious to know your answer to this. If you didn't think Dennis Allen was that guy and you were the front office for the Saints, what are the chances that you would just straight up be like, I don't know if he's that guy, but I know who is, Clint Kubiak? Is there any chance that you would say, I don't want Clint Kubiak to leave, I just want him to be the head coach, if you really felt that way?
I think you would – I don't know if you do
because if he walks out the door this offseason, I think there's a good chance of it. We've talked about a number of offensive coordinators that get those jobs. Dave Canales is one of those guys.
But I think that's a stretch to this point. I mean, he had two good games. Three good games, maybe, if you want to count the one against us. Is that enough to make a guy a head coach?
If you are worried that he's going to walk out the door and be a head coach somewhere else, and you're
going to be stuck
with Dennis Allen,
if you're that worried, you won't fire Dennis Allen this year. You'll let him sit around another year.
That's crazy.
Or you'll fire.
It's a weird conversation.
Or you'll fire Dennis Allen and say you're my interim that's what you do. You wait the next year, and if like Dennis Allen gets off to like a 1-3 start, you're like, you're fired. Clint, take over. We'll see what you got for us. That's what
maybe.
You do.
Back to the trade rumor mill, another star receiver on the docket, and the NFL trade deadline is November 5th, by the way. So we are talking about Cooper Kupp, which I never really saw this. I don't know. You just figured some guys would just be there for, I don't know, probably it's childish to think. But anyway, that someone would be there for life or whatever. But Cooper Kupp could be on, I guess, the trade, whatever the word is I'm looking for.
Trading block.
Yeah,
trade
there
block.
You
yeah.
go.
Here's the
block
way I feel about this.
Word.
He's due a lot of money, and it's over like the next 3 years. I want to say his average maybe is like $20 million over the next 3 years, something crazy like that. He has been oft injured, and that's one of the things since he won Offensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago. That's the frustrating part, I think, if you're the Rams and you're looking at the situation because you do have talent at the wide receiver spot. The only issue is I don't know where he's going to go for that much money. And I think that a lot of people are like, well, Pittsburgh needs a wide receiver. Dude, I don't think he fits in Pittsburgh at all. Like, I don't think he fits with anything that Pittsburgh is doing. Kansas City just filled that void. So I don't know what that leaves you with in terms of teams that really need a next level wideout and are willing to pay that much money.
I think there's probably teams that apparently, according to Diana Russini, that when they discuss Cooper Kupp with the Chiefs, Kansas City needed someone to take that money that you're talking about on. You know, I think you could find a place for him, I'm sure. Obviously, Buffalo just filled a void. But there's got to – you know, Houston has plenty of receivers.
We can't – Diggs, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, since they have plenty. Yeah. Now, if he could rush the passer, we could probably rework his deal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, my other thing is, like, if you're a team like New England that's well under the cap, is there a chance that, and I don't even know if it's legal in the NFL, that you just pay for the draft picks and say, hey, somebody send us draft picks, we'll open up our cap room and pay part of his salary. We need a second rounder.
I don't know if the Rams would do, like, do you think they do that to Cooper Kupp?
Well, no, I'm not saying to trade him to New England. I'm saying New England as a third party.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean?
Gotcha,
somebody's
got to
take that salary off somebody's hands. They don't want to pay him $25 million.
If you were Washington, would you look at him? I know you've got Terry McLaurin, but man, you could have two dynamic receivers for a young quarterback like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and the fact that Jaden's young, that means you can handle that salary a little bit better the next few years.
Yep.
That's a
good idea.
You know, Tampa can't handle the salary, but they're obviously hurting wide receiver wise. They can't handle the salary. I don't know how they would make that work personally.
So he's been out with the high ankle sprain, but he was slated to make his return in Week 8 against the Vikings on Thursday night. So.
What's a team like Denver's contract situation look like? Is the next kind of thing I would go to. Young quarterback, need to build the offense. Sean Payton, like, that seems like, and I don't know if they're buyers at all right now. I don't know if they would be, but man, I just hear so many legends about Cooper Kupp in the film room and breaking things down and understanding defenses and watching film with quarterbacks
they
and doing those things.
Breakfast Club,
right.
They bring the young Puka Nacua was in that, Matthew Stafford. They get up early and go through all that stuff.
Like, how awesome would that be if you're Sean Payton to have a guy like that sit down with Bo Nix every day and be like, hey, this is what I see, this is what I want to do. Like, that would be really cool as well. So I don't know what you'd be getting there. I don't know what their cap situation is, but I'm just looking at possibilities with young quarterbacks where you could shoulder an older wide receiver.
No surprise here, but the Browns are planning to start Jameis Winston at quarterback in place of the injured Deshaun Watson, who suffered a ruptured Achilles, is expected to make a full recovery after his surgery. But Winston now being named the starter, which, you know, I talked to you guys about this before when I had the Browns game earlier this season, he was already taking on the leadership role with the guys walking up and down the bench after every play, calming, making cooler heads, I guess, out of frustration situations. So, yeah, it doesn't really come as a shock. And especially when you talked about how the guys felt about him in the meetings, they were already saying how much he's basically, it seemed like he was the starting quarterback already.
He's more of a leader than the guy that was there that was paid to be a leader and a difference maker and been none of it. You put it
better than I could. That's the way I was trying to dance around.
That's the way I feel about it, yes. And I think it's pretty clear. Look, I don't know, man. Jameis is a character. I don't agree with everything that comes out of his mouth, but the one thing I'll tell you is that I haven't seen him go anywhere where his teammates didn't enjoy him and like him.
That's a good point. That's a good point, man.
I think they said, if he's talking, you may not want to listen, but it's guaranteed to be a gem. That's what one of the guys said to me.
Some of the stuff that guy says, man. I'm just like, this guy needs to go on tour.
Well, that's my thing.
He just needs to go on tour. Somebody hand him a microphone on a stage.
I don't love everything he says. I don't agree with everything he says. But he makes me energized the way he says it.
See, the documentary they did about going home with him to Bessemer, Alabama, where he's like, this is where we used to pee right here. This right here, this spot right here is where we used to pee.
If you sniff, you can still smell it.
Yeah, we drink the water out of spigot, but you got to make sure you watch the pee spot.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Plastic Clean. What you got mic'd up?
Oh, it's Which One Wednesday, Tiff. When we get back, we will relive the Atlanta United victory last night. Talk about that. We'll also hit Mic'd Up in a Which One Wednesday coming up on the other side of the break. Don't miss it. It's Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app.
That's right.
Action at the goal to our right. Saba directly behind the ball. He gets the whistle. Saba up to it. Strikes it. Score! Atlanta United is going to Miami! Atlanta United wins their first playoff shootout in franchise history. Lionel Messi, we'll see you Friday night.
Sure was quiet in there, Tiffany.
That was our Mike Conti and Jason Longshore on the call of an Atlanta United, as you heard him say, wild card win in the playoffs, and they are on their way to face Miami. It went down to PKs. Against Montreal.
You want to know what a full room full of people that have nothing to say sounds like? Just listen to that call. That's a building full of people.
Oh, Brad Kazan coming up big. He had a save during PKs, and that ultimately sealed the win for Atlanta United.
It was incredible. It's their third straight road victory. You didn't get it in regular time. Obviously, they needed the penalty to be able to pull even. Jose Martinez. There was a moment where Jose Martinez and Brad Guzan kind of getting each other's face after that penalty right there at the end. I was like, man, there's some history getting dug up in that conversation right there.
Kind of wanted Guz to kind of pop him.
I bet. He's a big dude.
He is.
Big dude. Joseph, obviously, they played a number of years together. I know that they are friends, but I know there's a lot of history with the way things exited. I thought that was interesting. United getting it done, though, man, and really – in a number of ways, we haven't seen Brooks Lennon with a header to be put home, which I thought was awesome. I thought there was another one a couple of minutes later that he could have put in as well. But obviously, Atlanta United finding a way to get it done. A more defensive-minded approach, I think. They didn't possess the ball a ton, but, man, they dug deep and got it done in PKs. Shout out to Brad Guzan for the penalty save. I think Jason mentioned on the broadcast, you're like, you just asked the goalie to save one. Just give us one. And that's exactly what Brad did, man. So awesome night up there in Montreal. Can't wait to chop it up with Mike Conte as soon as he walks in the door. I'm gonna be like, how was it? Because I want to hear the story about the fan that was sitting around him that obviously he was not very happy with, man. For right now, though, you guys know what time it is. Let's hit it. You already know what time it is. I'm mic'd up. It's Which One Wednesday. I present the situation and the decision to be made. Bo and Tiffany make the decision. Dylon says who had the right decision and the reasons why. You don't look enthused, Bo. Hammering that on mic button right there. I don't want to hear it from you. You ready?
I didn't say anything, okay. So I don't know what you heard.
Last night.
Shut up. No, I'm just kidding.
You were like, I might protest this segment. Joking. How about that?
Last night.
It's spinning because you said you didn't say anything. And when, you know, then you, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Protest.
Last night, LeBron James was on the court with his son. But something else happened that was worth a note for some people. LeBron James set a record last night. He actually passed Kobe Bryant for the most misses in NBA history. The most misses in NBA history. I don't know how many he ended up with on the night, but it was his sixth miss of the night on a kind of a missed layup in transition that set that record. So LeBron, obviously, what is he, in year 21, something like that. He's bound to have some of those records. Kobe Bryant, the guy he passed, played 20 years. Here's my question. Which career would you rather have? LeBron, 4 championships, 3 different teams, 4 MVPs, or Kobe? All of his years with the Lakers, 5 championships, but 1 MVP, obviously a number of all pros, a slew of honors that come to either one of those. Which career would you guys rather have? Kobe Bryant or LeBron James? Tiffany, we'll start with you.
I'm going to say I'd rather have Kobe Bryant. Standing to do it all in one place and cement your place in history with a historic franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers, why would you not want to have a career there?
Laker for life.
I think it goes without saying.
There you go. What do you think,
man? It's Kobe all the way. Mamba mentality. You know, he was a special. There's no player that's had a mentality in the NBA closer to Michael Jordan to me than Kobe. I mean, I don't know what else you need to say. He didn't have to sign with other superstars. He made them build around him. Kobe all the way.
I want to add one more note, too.
Go ahead, Tim.
Someone who has basically infiltrated all sports, right? Like, I was just in a meeting with one of the linebackers of UNLV this week, and he even quoted Kobe during this kid's, 20, 21, you know, was probably in diapers when
Kobe was going off like that.
So,
yeah, that's a good point. Okay, this coming off the New Heights podcast yesterday, Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce having this conversation. Jason Kelce makes mention of people that like lobster. All right, people that like lobster. He says they're lying to themselves. They actually just like butter. All right, he basically is like, they just like butter. Now, I had a good one lined up for this, but I know that Bo is allergic to shellfish, if I'm not mistaken, right? So I didn't go that route because I knew exactly what your answer would be.
I agree with him. Don't come for me. All right. I don't like lobster.
Here's the question, though, Tiff. If you had to have one for the rest of your life, you could only have one of these, would it be butter or would it be ranch dressing? Butter or ranch dressing for the rest of your life? Bo, we'll start with you.
Ranch dressing. Because I can live without butter. There's a thing called margarine, and it's fake butter, but it does the job. And I eat a lot of wings, and I like ranch dressing with my wings. I eat a lot of Caesar salads. I don't like Caesar dressing. I like ranch dressing on there.
Is it still a Caesar salad if it has ranch dressing on it?
It's the lettuce they use for Caesar.
Let me ask you a question.
Have you ever went into a restaurant and saw a romaine lettuce salad? No, they call it Caesar. And
I'm not
you can
answering
get it
because I want
without
you to stop.
Caesar dressing. I do it all the time.
Tiff,
that's
butter or ranch?
I'm going with butter because butter gives you more options. You can cook with butter. You can add flavor of butter. Think
they
about
got
this.
Pam, you know.
You got to coat your pan with ranch?
No, coat it with Pam. You could coat it with ranch if you wanted.
You're going to use butter.
You guys are down to 10 seconds per answer. Here we go. Would you rather, Tiff's going to Vegas this weekend. Would you rather see a show at the Sphere or at Red Rocks? The Sphere or at Red Rocks?
I'm going Red Rocks then.
Yeah?
Red Rocks, the environment outside,
cool,
it's beautiful.
Right?
Just a whole
vibe. What do you think, Bo? Sphere or Red Rocks?
You go to the Georgia Hemp Company go to the Sphere, baby. Enough said.
You could say the same thing about Red Rocks, though. I mean, come on, man. That's
I'm going to tell you something.
You don't want to do that with
the Denver Hemp Company.
Stairs? Nah, you don't want to dabble in that.
All right,
that's
how about
a good
this
point.
One? Which NFL head coach, if you were a rookie quarterback, which NFL head coach would you rather play for, Dan Campbell or Kyle Shanahan? Dan Campbell or Kyle Shanahan you'd rather play for? If you were a quarterback coming into the league, Tiff, we'll start with you.
She started last time.
Fine, go ahead.
Got to switch it up.
Go.
Kyle Shanahan. I mean, look what he did with Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Dan Campbell just took a veteran and figured out how to win with.
He's going to ask you to do a lot less, though. What do you think, Tiff?
Okay, since you picked Kyle Shanahan, I'm just going to go with Dan Campbell for fun reasons. It feels like they've got a really great locker room, and I don't know.
You learn how to bite kneecaps.
Sure, you can bite kneecaps, yeah.
All right, and here's the last one really quick. You're going to college, right? Let's just say you're a big recruit, all right? You're going to have your chance wherever you want to go, full ride. Would you rather go to college in a big city, Atlanta, Nashville, or would you rather go to college in a small college town? Small college town. Big city, small college town. Which one would you rather do?
When you say small college town, you're talking about like just throwing out places
Athens.
Like
that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I went to school in a big city, so I'm going big city.
Okay.
I'm going big city.
What did you like about it?
Fitzer, because she's big-time Blackman.
No, but I just like to get the experience of seeing, like, so many different people, right?
Right.
And so they're not just limited to the collection of students. You get the whole outside of experience.
Okay.
But I want to say some stuff.
Well, that's
stuff
a long 10 seconds.
So.
What do you need to say? Go ahead. Something about Georgia State?
No, I'm not going
to
say it.
Okay, she's trying to. You know what? Unlike my opponent, I'm not going to demean the working man, the small town
what?
People. Personally, I went to Kennesaw State.
You've been watching
because
too many political ads.
Because I'm going to tell you something.
You've been watching way
I support the everyday worker, and that's who I am,
that's
and that's who I stand
ads
for, all right?
Okay.
I love a small town atmosphere. That's where America, that's where the heartland of America is. The roots of America is in the small towns where everybody comes up by their bootstraps. Unlike big time black men over here who only cares about big time city people, Dylan.
Are we not all sick of the election propaganda?
Yes, we are.
Stupid things. You should deduct points.
No, it's not my fault.
Dylan,
I've been brainwashed.
You got like 10 seconds, Dylan, because I can't get Bo's microphone to turn off. What is it, Dylan? What do you think?
Well, as being a West Georgia grad who comes from the home, a small town in Carrollton, I do have bias. But either way it goes, Bo Morgan has got his championship back. He is today's Which One Wednesday champion.
Mm.
All right.
Tiffany, I got
that
some advice for you.
No time to
sorry you lost, but have a good drive home.
Does that mean I can leave now? That's cool. All right. You guys have fun the rest of the show. When we come back, Atlanta Hawks kick off the tip-off, the season tonight. So we have our wake-up call next. You can give us your outlook on their season.
Undefeated.
On the other side.
82-0. Undefeated. Let's go.
4-4-726-0929. Wake-up call's next on the morning shift on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Well, as we discussed, the Atlanta Hawks tip off the season tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. And, of course, the pregame show starts at 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. And then tip at 7:30.
I'm ready. I'm ready, man. I got a number of questions about what the Hawks will be this year, how things will end up lining up. I mean, what does the split look like between DeAndre Hunter and Zach Risacher? What does it look like with Dyson Daniels when Trey is off the court? Who's handling the ball? I know Kobe Bufkin's got an injury. How does Jalen Johnson look in this kind of, you know, obviously just got paid a ton of money? What does the center position look like? I don't know. Like I think the Hawks do a pretty good job of kind of keeping things to themselves when it comes to looking out towards the season. And hopefully we'll get some answers to those questions tonight. I know it's a moving target, but I'm excited to see those guys take the floor.
Yeah, it's going to be – it's finally Trey's team. It's finally Trey Young's team. You know, he obviously John Collins and him and then what became a riff or whatever you want to make of that. And then you get DeJounte Murray comes in, and DeJounte is – been very public with talking. He even said the other day that he just got kind of put in the corner during games and when Trey was on the floor. So it's finally Trey's team, and I think it's his moment to make it to prove that it's his team, right?
It's just,
to show that he's the leader and show, hey, this is ours. And you could see some of the stuff in media day that they've put out, and then he's been around and he's got Risacher and Jalen and DeAndre Hunter to a much lesser extent. It's finally his team, so I'm really excited to see how Trey takes over as the one true leader on this team.
Yeah, I agree. And he honestly, with some of the stuff the Hawks have been putting out and listening to him throughout this preseason, he seems comfortable with the fact that it's his team. And I think
he seems
knows
more engaged. I feel like he's more engaged as the leader role. I'm not saying overall. I just feel like he talks and sounds like someone that understands – that it's his team and has the confidence that it's his team. It just feels like an engaged leader. And I honestly can't say that I always felt like he had that kind of vibe.
Yeah,
the vibe that he was a leader.
Look at you pulling out the word vibe. I love that. Yeah, I don't know if he's had that vibe either.
All right, well, as we asked you before we went to break in the last segment, the question is, what do you anticipate for the Hawks season this year? You can give us your outlook by calling us at 404-726-0929. This is the wake-up call. We go to the lines. We have Philip in Morgan County. Good morning, Philip.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing today?
What's up, buddy?
I haven't called in a while. I'm going to hit a few different points real quick and get off the line and let y'all talk about it. First off, a couple of weeks ago, Tiffany said she had nobody in her corner. That hurt me bad, so I had to get that knife pulled out between my shoulder blades.
I didn't mean you, Phil.
She did.
That's okay. I'm just saying. Phil, sometimes people don't know what they have till they lose it. So yeah. I'm so glad you're back, and I realize the error in my ways.
She paved paradise and put up a parking lot. You know what I mean?
So I had to heal up a little bit, but I guess Tiff's tribe is trying to represent again, even though I'm lame.
Thank you. You're the only one. Thank you.
The other thing is, I'd like y'all to ask Mike Tonsi if Rob Valentino has done enough to become the head coach of Atlanta United.
It's a good question.
I'd like to know how many drop passes Carson Beck has thrown through the season, because I think that has affected his overall confidence. Mm. I think Trae Young is just mature. He's just gotten a little older. And it's time for him to be a little bit more stable and engaged. That's the word y'all used a few minutes ago. I think that's the best word.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day, and I'll let you discuss.
We appreciate you.
Thanks, Phil. I will say this.
Covered a number of topics.
I heard Conte ask that very question yesterday on Dukes and Bell, and he said that he obviously didn't know. He was pulling for Rob Valentino, but that I think his feeling was that it needed to be a deep playoff run for Valentino. In fact, going into last night's game, he was 10, 10, and 10 in his second time as far as interim overall. So the first time he was an interim in 21 for Heinze, and then this year, his overall record going into last night, so now it's 11, 10, and 10. That's through, 31 games? What was the other one? He had something else about.
Yes, but he talked about the Hawks. He talked about Carson Beck's drops.
Oh, Carson Beck. He had five or six in Saturday night alone, Mike. And yeah, I think the one with Arian Smith to start the Alabama game, I thought completely changed the game.
Yeah. I know that he's had a bunch of them. And we've talked about it, dude. His playmakers are not who they used to be right now. But I don't know that he's that guy that we saw last year. Maybe that's because he's pressing. The other thing, his point about Trae growing and maturing and becoming older, that's exactly what my thought was. You and I this morning were having this conversation. He's matured. He's grown. He's just older. Sometimes we forget how young some of these guys are when they come into these leagues, into these leadership roles. This entire franchise and city is looking at him. The conversation that the Hawks media put out that Trae Young was having with Zachary Rees-Oshae actually on the sideline of the Falcons game, I thought was really cool insight. Both those guys are kind of mic'd up, and Trey's like, look, it's a basketball city when we're good. These guys will have your back. And obviously the Falcons game is off the rails that night against the Chiefs. But I thought that was an awesome conversation, and that was a little bit of insight into how Trae feels about this city and about, kind of leading Zachary Rees-Oshae.
It's given me new optimism, Trae and this team. I mean, I've been critical at times, but it's given me a lot of hope and optimism starting the season.
All right, we go to Coleman and Winder. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Fellow Squidarian here, Sir Squid.
Hi, sir. How you doing, sir?
Yes, sir. Great. Like you just said, Bo, I'm excited to see. We just added Link. With Rees-Oshae alone, adding Link to compete with Boston because they're all tall and to get deeper on the bench. Mm. I'm also excited, like you, Mike, because I'm going to watch it tonight, and I think that they're going to do really good, and I have high expectations for them. I'd see Eastern Conference Finals, maybe.
Let's go.
That's what I said. But y'all do a good job, and I like listening to y'all every day. Keep it up.
I appreciate y'all. Yeah, thanks, man. Good call.
What a nice person.
And that's been the theme, right? I'm ready to be hurt again. I hope I'm not hurt. And I think that, listen, if we're talking about the Eastern Conference Finals, I ain't going to be hurt about that at all. You talk about championship runs, just a step in the right direction in terms of all the injuries you had last year, what you were the year before, all the moves you made, addition by subtraction, all that stuff. I just think that this is a team that's going to be a little bit of a sleeper, man, primed to kind of make some moves and move in the right direction. See it all. Quinn's system's finally developed. This is finally Trey's team. You have some length and a guy that can set the three. You got some defense possibly at the two. Like, I want to see it all come together. and this recipe start to cook a little bit.
I think the one thing you can say about Quinn Snyder is he gives young players belief in themselves. Talked about that the other day when he got his contract was it might have been yesterday, but when his contract gets done and then he talks about it, you know, it was a turning point getting Quinn Snyder in here. So now it's time to see it pay off.
Let's go.
On the other side, Falcons and Buccaneers this weekend. A lot is at stake in this one. We'll discuss why on the other side in the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get another guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. All right. Falcons and Bucks. This can mean a lot for the division if the Falcons get a win in this matchup. I know you were breaking that down for us earlier, Bo, but they'd be, what, 4-0?
Yeah.
In the NFC South?
Mm-hmm. And 2-0 against the Bucks.
Yep.
Which would be, you know, they would have any tiebreakers that they would need over them. It's also a conference win, Tiff, which they have one loss now in the conference, which is important because, you know, all those NFC conference games, if you were in a wild card situation, you know, that might be a tiebreaker. You lost one against Seattle. There's a lot on the line in these division games.
Plus, you're going to get, sorry to jump in here, but you'll get the Cowboys, so you get another NFC after that, and then you'll be back to face the Saints, too.
Yeah, you've got a chance to go ahead. I mean, and I said this last week. That's why I thought the Seattle game was so important, and obviously it didn't get to turn out your way, but it's you're playing teams that you are going to be competing with for playoff spots until you get to New Orleans, and, you know, they might be a little out of it by then because Dallas, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's start poking the bear right now. I'm not comfortable with you poking the bear right now.
Dallas, what I'm
saying. Simmer down.
Is Dallas not still 3-3? They're 3-3. So they are, you know, now whatever happens within this week, I think I'm right on that. I double checked.
Yeah, I will say this. Their losses are some of the most brutal losses
yeah.
you'll ever see.
They're 3-3.
When they lose, they're like, hey, we're just going to go ahead and knock this all out. You know what I mean? Like,
destroy the city of Dallas.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
let's just say, we might as well just drown in agony when we do lose. It's brutal to see. So, yeah, but I'm with you, man. You start looking at the possibilities, and I think that's the overall kind of topic of conversation is this the Falcons division to lose, right? When you look at the injuries for the Saints, when you look at the injuries that are, you know, just happened this past Monday night with Tampa Bay, right? And the conversation moves forward as, what do you need to get done to make sure that happens? Is it, you know, because the Falcons, we're going to sit here and talk about Matthew Bergeron and Troy Anderson and a couple of other pieces, Micah Abernathy, obviously. But when you look at the other injuries around the division, you're like, man, we ain't doing that bad. Like, we're all right. We're all right. We can come back from this. And so I think that's the conversation you start having. And it's a knock on wood thing because you don't, you know that injuries will happen in any given NFL season. But it does feel like that there is a massive amount of opportunity in front of you. The problem I have is we had this feeling at this point last year, and the games you went on to lose throughout the remaining whatever 10 games of the season were brutal. And I mean brutal. Like some of the ones we had to do post-game for, I was like, nah, I quit. I'm out. I don't want to talk about this one. I don't want to talk about Carolina winning their second game against us. Don't want to talk about Kyler Murray winning his first start of the year, Will Levis winning his first start ever. Don't want to talk about it. And yet, there we were. So it's just tough to kind of project out.
You look at Tampa Bay's offense, Tiff, and I know that the Mike Evans and Chris Godwin injuries are very, you know, topical right now. But they've been very balanced as far as production. I mean, they are they're fifth in rushing yards per carry, excuse me. They're eighth overall in yards per game in rushing, and they're, seventh in passing yards per game. So they're very balanced. They're one of the better team. They're the best team in the league on third down percentage as far as conversions go. And so they've been pretty good on offense, and they've been a team that has done it both ways. So you can't just say, hey, well, they don't have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, go ahead and start eating the W, Jameis, and let's move on to Dallas, because they're not that team. They're good on both sides of the ball, and they can run the football. They ran 160 yards last time they played you, including 42 from their quarterback.
Yeah. I'm straight. You straight? We straight then.
Jamesisms.
No, I love it, man.
Setting us back years in grammar and everything else. But I don't know. There's just so many. The thing for me is they're not very. They have a lot of good players on defense. You know, you look through, you have Vita Vea, you have Kalijah Kansi, Levante David. I think Yaya Diaby is a very good player. And I think he's from Georgia, honestly. I think he went to high school in Georgia. Antoine Winfield.
Times in college.
Yeah, he played Louisville, right?
Yes. No, yes.
I'm looking at his Louisville. Yeah. I had to think about it. I said
it.
The right. I don't know why. I could have said
Louisville. You seem like more of a Louisville kind of guy.
You love how I say words, don't you?
No, I don't. That's my point.
Well, you always put an emphasis on it. You could just let it go and nobody would think twice about it. Antoine Winfield Jr., one of the best safeties in the league. So they have I think Zion McCollum's a good player. They have players to their defense, but when you look through their numbers, they've been pretty bad not only against the run, not only against the pass, but in scoring defense as well. So my point is that there's no reason why this game couldn't be another shootout like it was last time.
Yeah. And you look at KJ Britt that, you know, is plugged in there, and you'll have to remind me the name of the linebacker that they put on IR right before last game. And it was clear we came out and attacked KJ Britt early on in that game, throwing it over him, throwing it around him, waiting until he dropped back in zone coverage. And that's why you got some of the numbers you got in that game. Levante David's still playing at an extremely high level. I mean, that guy, it's almost like he's seen a career renewal in terms of what he's been asked to do this year. So that's kind of where my difficulty comes in as we project this division out and we look around and you know, it's just unfortunate that you're not going to get Tampa Bay's best shot, but at the same time, it does open up doors for opportunities. It's just so hard to project in the NFL. It's any given Sunday. We saw that last, this past weekend where you felt a certain way about your team, you come out flat, you get routed in your worst loss of the season.
See,
so.
I disagree, but you're not going to. I understand what you mean about not getting their best shot because you're not getting.
They're missing, yes.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that this team won't come out there and give you the best shot that they have. And they have a three-headed monster running back. Otten is a hell of a tight end. I think you're still going to get their best shot. It's just not going to be their healthiest. And you're not getting our healthiest either. We don't know if Troy Anderson will play. We don't know if Matthew Bergeron will play. Drew Dahlman is still out. So you're still missing. We're missing guys too. And we've missed guys all year too. So when people talk about the injury thing, we've had it as well. So I hate when people, and I know you're not using that, but I don't like the injury thing. It is what it is. You go out there and play with the guys you got. I do hope Vita Vea misses the game though.
Well, no, I mean, that was a question last time. We didn't see Antoine Winfield last time. Kalijah Kansi. They're actually defensively, they're much more healthy than they were last time we saw them, right? And a lot of these guys kind of worked their way back. But that also kind of translates into our conversation in New Orleans. Like Tiffany said, you'll see them in a few weeks as well. There is a massive amount of, it seems like, matchups coming up. And so you can't look at this weekend and say, well, this is a must-win game. No, it's not a must-win game. It's not even in the ballpark of being a must-win game. But you would love to have this one when you look at what they're dealing with.
I mean, we only ran the ball 18 times last time against them. They clearly made an effort to take the run away. They basically last time said, we don't think Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts can beat us through the air. We're gonna put everything and all our emphasis into shutting down Bijan and Tyler, and we're gonna see if he can beat us through the air. And Kirk Cousins did for the tune of 500 yards. Is there any thought that they might kind of flip their mindset and say, hey, we can't let Kirk and Drake and Darnell. We've got to basically keep everything in front of us and play a two deep safety look where if they can run the ball against us, they've got to beat Vita and Kalijah because he's healthy. And I think Levante David, Logan Hall, KJ Britt, those linebackers, they got to beat those guys. We're not going to let them beat us through the air. We're going to play a little bit safer defense.
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but okay, so last game we saw Bijan go off, right? So over 100 rushing yards. I feel like now with this team, and you can see different samples of it in each of the game, either Kirk's going off, now maybe that you've seen, you can have both, right? So it's not something where you can try to make this team one-dimensional. But again, Bucks defense, you know, has been a...
Well, I think you're spot on. I think what is crazy about what you're hitting on there is that this team is built where they can beat you either way. If you take one away, they're built to where then they can run the ball down your throat, right? And vice versa. That's what the Tampa game proved, I think, to the world, is that if you take away what our perceived strength is, we have another one.
Yeah. Well, and
offensively.
Here's what I'll say, Tiff, to your point. I think these are the kind of games where you learn a lot about your coordinators, right? And one of the reasons it's so hard to win both games in a given year is because there's so much to chew on from the game before. If you're Zach Robinson, you're going, well, we threw it pretty well last time. We had to, but we threw it pretty well. What is the game plan going to be? Well, let's, you know, this worked last time, this worked. On the flip side, Tampa's going, dude, we got roasted doing this last time. Let's change it. So I think in terms of Zach Robinson and Jimmy Lake, you learn a lot in these rematches, you know, throughout these division games, because these guys actually have to almost have two separate game plans. What worked last time? And if they adjust to it, what are we going to do? Right? And that's what you'll see in this matchup coming this weekend, is a chess match before and during.
And I think, to your point as well, both offenses can do that. I think both offenses can flip the script and beat you with run or pass. And Tampa's going to have to, I think, do that with the run and set up the pass with some of their guys. That's why one of you two said it earlier, and I agree, is something I thought about yesterday. They should, you know, go ahead and just come up. Go ahead and play up tight. Drop a safety in there and dare them to run on you.
So we should have a good game, is what you're saying. When we come back here, we got some steak tips for you. That's on the other side on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. You struggling over there?
I just tried to get my microphone fixed. Abe is being Abe out there in the bullpen wanting to argue points that don't make any sense.
Before we get to steak tips.
No, you can't. I would remind you that November. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. He's mad at me.
I know. When he does that, I know.
I made him mad.
It's like you'll just be sitting
I made him
here,
so mad.
Or you'll say something and then
look
Mike
at him.
Does the head shake.
He's so mad. He's had a rough 20 hours. He's no longer in the lead in our NASCAR racing league. Him and I got royally screwed over last night. But go ahead.
Really sorry to hear that.
You want to say that me and Abe are the same person? We're not.
Do your brown gas thing. No, I wasn't going to say anything about that.
Yo, he's mad at you.
I know. Why are you so mad?
I just want to do radio. Can we just do radio?
That's what we're doing.
Let's just do
but
that.
I want you to get your point out because I know it's important to you.
No, it's all good.
Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, November 25th. Mike will be there.
I will.
Playing on my team.
I'll probably be shaking him into the woods because I haven't played a warm-up in quite some time.
Don't you want to play golf with me?
I do. We've talked about it. We got to put it together, man.
I told you Friday. Did I not tell him Friday?
We'll get out there and try to hit him straight. You know what I mean?
Anyways, go to the 92.9 The Game website. Click on the events page, and you can find the link. It'll tell you all about it. There's only about 20 spots available. I mean, I'm serious. Like it's filling up. And Finley Roofing is going to be out there. Heard from them yesterday. They are officially in. Twin Peaks is in. Hoist.
I love Twin Peaks.
Hydration drinks are in. I think there's somebody. Live Golf is in. I don't even know that, but EW Live Golf, not the real Live Golf.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That's it. The Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic on CW.
Well, the EWLF group is in. We've got some New Realm. My friends at New Realm are in. Forgot about that. They'll be out there. They're going to have some the Owl Inn beer will be out there. And Umberto Law and Drew Butler will be out there as well. So it's a big event. Come out. Pets for Vets. It's all for the veterans, guys. So couldn't ask for a better cause.
Yeah, nice work.
It's a great cause.
Anyways, Abe is texting me now about this. I'm just going to ask you guys. I want to ask you guys a question. When Diana Rossini tweets that in order for the Rams to trade Cooper Kupp to the Chiefs, it says they discussed. But the Champs needed to trade to be with a team that was willing to take on a large chunk of the salary and didn't want to give up high picks. What does that mean to you?
I don't know. What did Abe say it meant?
He said that it didn't mean that they were unwilling to trade with anybody if the other team wouldn't take on a lot of the salary. which doesn't make any sense, which is why Abe, as usual, is wrong. Hey, steak's here, Dylan. Let's go.
You know, I get a little workout in the morning, take a cold shower, have a routine.
Cold shower?
Do it like, yeah, freezing cold. Well, I can't do a cold plunge. I don't have one. So yeah. I take a freezing cold shower. I have a little routine when I pull into the building of just gratefulness for getting to be on the air, especially when it's Sandra. Yeah. And it's like all these things checking. I got my pen that's important to have with me.
It all lines up.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I walk in and I hear these two lunatics screaming at each other.
I know.
Abe and Bo. So everything I worked like 2 hours to get my head right. You know what I mean?
Could not agree more.
And then I walk in and these two just, you know, volatile, just aggressive men.
And you know the frustrating part, Steak, is I'm sitting here listening to it during the break, and I think, man, I hope he doesn't bring that to the— No, I'm talking about in here.
Don't bring it
and
in
I'm
here.
Like, I hope he don't bring that to the air. And the first thing, let me tell you about what Abe said. And I'm like,
You know, I used to—
love.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you guys a little quick story.
Oh, Lord.
Lil Bo from Kennesaw
quit.
State.
It's never quit.
I was not that human being until I started working in radio, and I worked on this show that it was called Mayhem in the AM, and it was on a little signal that could. And
I'm sorry,
Steak,
Mike.
Have you ever
Bell.
Heard of it?
I'm sorry, Mike Bell put you through that. His antics. Because I'm glad I've always been the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Second thing that happened is after getting right. Listen, everybody needs to be coached. You know what I mean? Tough coaching. Were you a guy that liked to be coached hard?
I did.
Right?
I did. But I liked a little thing.
Look at the
detail.
Color of my coffee today.
Oh,
look
wow. Oh, my gosh. Look I'm so proud of you.
You're black. Yeah. You're that black.
It's called accountability. And right. She's your accountability
Tiff
coach right now.
Looked at me and was like, is that a milkshake? Are you wearing a dress? Or are you an actual man?
I thought he just had a cup of milk.
It's
that's what I thought it was.
You know, listen.
Wouldn't you rather?
It's not. If I was a single dude and I was walking around a Starbucks and some pretty lady saw me and she saw the way my coffee looked, she'd say, that guy's soft.
No,
that
guy's soft. I wouldn't judge that. I was thinking more in terms of just like
health.
Everyone,
sweetness.
A little bit. I mean, we all have our vices, right?
Right.
But I would rather.
I have
eat,
a lot more than you.
I'd rather
I
eat my
more.
Calories than drink
yeah.
them, right? Wouldn't you rather have a slice of chocolate cake?
Not in the morning.
No.
Not in the morning. But I listen. I got pure black coffee this morning. All
That's
right, a couple
good.
Of quick things. Lionel Messi coming to town a week from Saturday, right? Mm. So it is a beginning of a stretch. And, you know, we've all been here a long time. We joke. Bo has been working in this business a long time. A stretch over the next few years where now we just added a playoff game with most famous soccer player in the world, one of maybe the most famous of all time. Throw that on top of Final Four, national titles, SEC titles. This year, obviously, we get the SEC title game, we get the playoff game, and we get the national title game. Then the Major League Baseball All-Star game up the street coming up this next summer, right? Then we're lined up, obviously, for the holy grail of FIFA World Cup, Super Bowl, Final Four. I've been to every one of these events, and I was just thinking about, like, what should Atlanta be most excited about of all these? Or what's the best atmosphere, having been to every one of these? Because it's Atlanta, literally, you don't need to be, you know, you don't need a PR team to be able to put that out there and say we're the epicenter of sports.
Right.
Like, who's getting all that?
Definitely the epicenter of college football, I can tell you that. When you look at everything you just named coming up.
Well, in 1 year, college football is craziest. Now, I'd argue the best crowds that you'll ever be at are the SEC championship games for the right matchup, right? Louder than a Super Bowl, louder than a national title game. Listen, if anybody's been to Georgia in a national title atmosphere, in the dome was one thing. But there have been games out on the West Coast for national titles where they didn't even sell out, right?
Yeah.
There were Fiesta Bowls and Rose Bowls. But an SEC title game, especially when if you lose, you're out.
Yeah, but I would argue that that Georgia-Alabama game, national championship game that was here, that was – but now that was essentially another SEC championship game. And in a lot of ways, you had
no,
two SEC
right.
crowds. But
you had two SEC crowds playing in Atlanta. But
I've never been to a Super Bowl.
SEC, so Super Bowl –
it's weird.
Is corporate,
it's weird.
Right? You've been.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say – I will say this about walking into a Super Bowl. There's no building that feels more electric. Like, you walk in 2.5 hours before, and there is an aura over the building.
There's a buzz in the air. Now, I felt that way. I went to the SEC Championship game last year, the Georgia-Alabama SEC Championship last year, and it's the same way. You're like, oh, my gosh. I can feel it in my chest.
I still remember was sitting with Dylan Raiola, who is the kid – Dylan Raiola, sorry. Ryan Puglisi, who is the 5-star out of Boston or out of New England.
Yeah.
Who had never been to an SEC game before. He's coming to Georgia. Actually went to a Vandy game in Nashville. and or like him and his dad, and he's sitting in the stands, and next year he's going to Georgia as a five-star. I was like, dude, I'm from New England, and I'm just going to tell you, take the exact opposite of anything you could imagine in your life in high school and college, what you're about to walk into, you're not going to believe that atmosphere. I'll put SEC at the top. I love Final Four because I'm a college basketball nut, and I love four different schools with four different bands and 5 hours of basketball. But I don't know that it's louder or a cooler atmosphere. You have to love basketball to sit for 5 hours and be way into the Final Four or have great matchups.
Tiff, you've been to a lot of these. You've been to a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. I covered a couple Super Bowls. Yeah. So, but the atmosphere, yeah, like you were kind of saying,
buzz is different.
It's a little bit different.
But the crowd is in this. It's a corporate crowd. Listen, tickets are so expensive. Major League Baseball All-Star Game, not a big deal. Like, I think the Home Run Derby, probably better atmosphere than the actual All-Star Game.
I can't wait for that one. There's probably not an amount I won't pay to go to that Home Run Derby.
And then we leave anything out? No, I mean, all of them are going to be happy. And then, of course, none of us have been to a World Cup game. Have you been to a World Cup game?
I have not been to a World Cup game.
Okay, so that's going to be, I would imagine at the end of the day,
it'll be the best.
SEC title type, yeah. I mean, it's hard with SEC title when it's all on the line, dude.
Dude.
That is special. Ohio State, Georgia was at that game, so that was a semifinal playoff game on New Year's Eve.
Well,
that was pretty special.
You just see how rocking the Lanny Knight is running. What was it, 18 or 19, where I was there for the semifinal?
Yeah.
No, I actually watched that in Green Bay, but the Eastern Conference semifinal game that they came here and played, that atmosphere was amazing.
United night they won it was amazing. Boy, we've been lucky in Atlanta.
I'll say this. I played in back-to-back SEC championship games that were 1-2, the Tebow effect, all that kind of thing going on. Dude, just walking in, because you have to do the walkthrough on Friday. Just walking in for the walkthrough on Friday.
Wow.
You're like, dude, this building.
Dude, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
What's it like coming out of the tunnel for that game?
I mean, I got chills in my arm right now. Going out for the coin toss. I'm like, let's go.
All right.
Like the headbutt.
See how much better that is in fighting with somebody in the hallway and all that.
I don't want to fight with Abe. Abe wants to send me 2-day-old tweets. It's proven right.
Definitely the two most hard-headed people in this building.
That's not true at all.
Sandra is in the house. Lots of Hawk stuff, lots of United stuff coming up.
All right, that's it for us here on the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Mike, you know what you can do?
Go to the Odyssey app.
Or stay cool.